Skyttja. När han tjejven har åttom om. Devim sös för timbjösam. Tatajayam odirayet. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verses 23-34. We'll finish the second chapter today. Sattvam rajas tama iti pakrite gunasta yukta para purusha eka ihasya tatte stitya daye hari vidinchi hareti sangya sheyang sitatta karusatta tanarninangsya. Translation. The transcendental personality of Godhead is indirectly associated with the three modes of material nature, namely passion, goodness, and ignorance. And just for the material worlds, creation, maintenance, and destruction, he accepts the three qualitative forms of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Of these three, all human beings can derive ultimate benefit from Vishnu, the form of the quality of goodness. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langhate grim yakipam tamaham vande shi gurum yatanam om agyana timarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshumiritam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. Sutta has explained yesterday progression from shraddha to prema, beginning with service to the mahat, the great devotees. When we serve the pure devotees, chanting and hearing and their association, Krishna in our heart becomes pleased and he cleans the dirt of material desires. And by continuously serving the book Bhagavat and devotee Bhagavat, we progress to Nishta, where at least 75%, as we heard from Srila Prabhupada, 75% of our anarthas are removed. And we can go in the back door, following Srila Prabhupada, as we heard yesterday. Modes of passion and ignorance are finished. We become established in the mode of goodness. And then we progress to Shuddha Sattva, purified goodness. And then Lord Krishna turns on the light of knowledge on our heart. He switches on the light. And we know, we see him, we see ourselves, we see our relationship with him. And we start to engage in pure devotional service. And we understand the science of Krishna. And so many things happen. The knot of ahankara is cut, and our doubts are destroyed, and we become liberated. All our karma is finished. So therefore, the great souls engage in devotional service to Lord Krishna. Now, in these final verses of chapter 3, we will hear who we should worship. What is the object of our worship? Who that should be? From this section, actually, up through chapter 3, Sutta Goswami will establish the supremacy of Lord Vishnu and that ultimately Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we will hear, now we finished here this section, Shraddha to Prema. Today we're going to hear about Vasudeva and how Vishnu is supreme. Vasudeva is the goal of all paths. And in the end of the chapter we'll hear about the Purusha avatars. So then we will finish chapter 2. And we'll go into chapter 3 again, beginning with the Purusha avatars, and then we'll hear about the Lila incarnations of Lord Krishna. Jaya Maharaj. Welcome. Hare Krishna. So here in this verse, we hear how Krishna expands as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva for creation, maintenance, and destruction of the world. Okay. I'll need it only for a few minutes. And then bring it right back. So, Prabhupada gives the example of the Kumbh Mela. How many of you have gone to the Kumbh Mela? You have gone, yes. I've never gone, actually. But someday I'll go. Kumbh Mela. So every year we have Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. And if you go there before, like right now, this time of year, you'll just find some banks of the river and basically an empty place. But if you go in January, is it January? In January, you'll see a whole creation, a whole township has come up, sprung up all of a sudden where there was nothing. You'll find camps, you'll find electricity, you'll find a post office, you'll find everything, police. You'll find everything all of a sudden created. And so this fair, this festival is created so that people can come take bath in auspicious time, get purified by the association of the people, the religious people there, and then go back home. So similarly, this creation is created at a certain point, and it is maintained by Lord Vishnu just to give a chance to the living entities to get purified and go back home, back to Godhead. So for the purpose of this temporary material world, Lord Krishna expands as Hari Varinchi Hareti. Hareti means Hara, or Lord Shiva. So some people say, well, Krishna has become Shiva, Krishna has become Brahma, so I can worship anyone. Why not worship Shiva? Krishna has become. It is also Krishna, the one with Krishna. And so what do you say to these people? What does this verse say? It says, yes, Adipurusha. Vishnu, yes. From Vishnu you get Shreya. Just like the sages asked, what is the Shreya? What is the only benefit? What is the highest benefit? Highest welfare for the people. So now Sutta is telling them the highest benefit, the highest welfare, Shreya, is to worship Vishnu. This will be your benefit. Prabhupada often gives the example that in this material world, we're like prisoners. So if you want to bribe the warden, you may get some nice temporary benefit. You may get nice food, nicer food, a nice bed in the prison. So in the same way, you can bribe the demigods, you can worship the demigods, you get a very nice place, a palace to live in, nice food, but you cannot get out of the prison. Only if you worship Vishnu can you actually get out. So therefore, Shreyansi is Vishnu. There was one devotee who was in jail, and he was very good friends with the warden. He was cooking for him, he was typing for him, and so he became friends, but still, he couldn't get out of the jail. He got some benefits. He got some nice benefits from the warden. So this example is given. The real problem is how to get out. But people don't think about that. They think, well, just let me, now I'm here, let me just make the best use of this. But they don't know the ultimate goal. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. They don't know Vishnu is the goal. And so they worship the demigods. Because they know Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. He's very easily pleased. If I worship Lord Shiva, he will give me very quickly. Because Lord Shiva, he's always engaged in meditation on Sankarshan. And so many people are coming to disturb his meditation. So quickly, okay, go. But Vishnu is not like that. He won't give you what is bad for you. He is Shreya. He will give you your ultimate benefit. He won't give you something that will make you stay here in this miserable world. He will take you out with him. So that's why here, Shreya is Vishnu, your ultimate goal. In the 11th canto, there is a prayer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there it is said, Shiva Virinchi Nutan. I think you know that. Vande Mahapurushate Charanarvindam. They are worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Lord Chaitanya, he is Shreya even for Vishnu, even for Shiva and even for Brahma. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the shelter. He, by his mercy, then even Brahma and Shiva can cross over the ocean, material existence. Shiva Rinchi Nutam. So this is the point here of this verse, and we'll hear more in the next verse. Ashraya?
That's what you're saying, Ashraya?
Shreya. Shreya. It's in the verse. Shreyam si. Shreyam si. Means Shreya as opposed to Preya. Preya is temporary and Shreya is eternal.
He would also be Ashraya.
Yes. That's also true. He would also be Ashraya. So that's also a fact. Shreya, Ashraya. It's a very similar sound, actually. Very similar. Must be some. We can ask if there's some relationship. From Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. Verse 24. Partivad daruno tumas tasmad agnis chaimaya tamasas tirajas tasmad satvam yad brahmadarshanam. Firewood is a transformation of earth, but smoke is better than the raw wood, and fire is still better. For by fire we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifice. Similarly, passion, rajas, is better than ignorance, tamas. But goodness, sattva, is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. So we have the earth, and from the earth we plant the seed, we get a tree, and then from the tree we get wood, and then we take the wood and we make a fire, and first we get smoke, but what we actually want is the fire. This is what is needed. The fire is needed. The fire is useful for cooking, for heating, for electricity, for so many things. So everything is going on because of the fire. So in the same way, Brahma and Maheshwara, Shiva, they are different incarnations of the modes, material nature, but actually Vishnu is required. This is what we need. We need Vishnu. Brahma and Shiva, we don't really need. This will not help us to get out. Fire is required. So also it is said, not only is Vishnu required, but the mode of goodness is required. From the mode of goodness, then we can actually realize Brahman. And that's why it says, Brahma jana titi brahmana. A brahmana is in the mode of goodness. So therefore, he can realize Brahman. Brahma darshanam. Brahma darshanam. Prabhupada says, means one who has seen Brahma or one who has known Brahma. He is called a brahmana. He has seen, darshana, seen Brahman. So therefore, tamasas tudajastasmat sattvam yad brahma darshanam. Sattvam. In the mode of goodness, just like we heard yesterday, you have to come, you go through all these different stages with great difficulty. We go through all these stages. Finally, we come to the mode of goodness. And then everything starts happening once we get to the mode of goodness. Our chain of fruitive action is cut, and we see Krishna face to face, yad brahma darshanam. So Prabhupada, therefore, he gave us restrictions to bring us to the mode of goodness. Therefore, we get up early in the morning, we take bath, we have four regulative principles. All of these are to bring us to the mode of goodness, to help us come to the mode of goodness. So therefore, for those in the mode of goodness, then they can study the Vedas, then they can follow this chaimaya, the Vedic sacrifices. So for sacrifice also, you need the fire. So therefore, the mode of goodness is required. This is the point of this verse. But, of course, how many of us are in the mode of goodness? Very, very high position to be in the mode of goodness. Shamo, dama, tapa, shocham, arjavam. You read Bhagavad Gita. All these qualities. But Prabhupada in the purport, of course, is very merciful as usual. And he tells us not to be discouraged. Even if you're not in the mode of goodness. This is paragraph 1, near the beginning. Prabhupada says, it is comprehended herein one has to rise to the platform of the mode of goodness, sattva, so one can be eligible for devotional service of the Lord. But if there are impediments in the progressive path, anyone, even from the platform of tamas, can gradually rise to the sattva platform by the expert direction of the spiritual master. Sincere candidates must therefore approach an expert spiritual master for such a progressive march, and the bona fide expert spiritual master is competent to direct a disciple from any stage of life, tamas, rajas, or sattva. So the disciple may not be competent, but the spiritual master can use his conditioned nature in such a way, he can tell him how to use his nature so that he can progress. No matter what nature you have, or what varna, or what condition of life you're in, you can progress. A very nice example is given in the fourth canto about Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was in a great battle with the Yakshas. And the Yakshas were raining so many arrows on Dhruva, you couldn't see Dhruva. He disappeared in a cloud of arrows. So it was described that the clouds of arrows were coming onto Dhruva just like rain comes on a mountain. So when the rain goes on the mountain, all the dirt is washed away. So when the arrows were coming on Dhruva, it's described all his incompetencies were washed away. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that it doesn't mean he succumbed in the battle, but everything, all the dirty things were washed away from Dhruva, and then he could achieve his goal. He could go on to fight and win the battle. So the arrows, they were like obstacles in his path. So Satsarupa Maharaj, he made a very nice comment on this, that the obstacles washed away his incompetence, he was able to defeat his enemies. So if a disciple accepts the guru's instructions, the obstacle of being in the lower modes will not overcome and kill the disciple, but will wash away his incompetence. There's a very beautiful, now this is from 4th canto, 10th chapter, 13th verse. There's another very, very nice verse in the 11th canto that describes this very point, that we should not be discouraged if we're not yet in the mode of goodness. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. This is 11th canto, 14th chapter, 18th verse. You like that? You know that verse. Beautiful. If my devotee has not fully conquered his senses, he may be harassed by material desires. But because of his unflinching devotion for me, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. So anybody in that position, we're being harassed by so many things, material desires. But because we're engaging in devotional service, shipram bhavati dharmatma, then we're not defeated. We won't be conquered, sense gratification. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example in this purport that a great warrior may be struck by the weapons of his enemies, but because of his courage and strength, he is not killed or defeated. He goes on to victory. He accepts the blow, and he goes on to victory. So although, actually, the main point of this purport is that you have to come to mode of goodness, the point of the verse, still, Srila Prabhupada says that he's giving us special mercy. In this age, of course, we take shelter of the pure devotee, and we can also be elevated to the mode of goodness, even if we're not yet on that platform. Now, in a lecture on this verse, Srila Prabhupada was glorifying the land of India, Bharatavarsha, because here the people, they actually tried to cultivate the mode of goodness, that the goal of the Vedic culture used to be, I don't know about now, but it used to be moksha, that everyone should get out, everyone should go back to Godhead. And we can see, if we read Mahabharata, or Ramayana actually, it was Ramayana, which was even longer ago than Mahabharata, many millions of years ago, Vishwamitra, when he went to visit King Dasharath, then King Dasharath asked him, how are you doing in your efforts to conquer over the path of birth and death? You know it in Sanskrit? What is it? Yes. He quoted that. Just to show that the purpose of the Vedic culture is actually the mode of goodness. The mode of goodness is liberation, as we'll see later on in these verses. Mumukshavo, those who want liberation. So this was the purpose of the Vedic culture, to bring you to the mode of goodness and then to take you to liberation. So Prabhupada gave an example of how the people were satisfied in whatever position they were, but they still tried to cultivate spiritual knowledge. There was a Brahmin who was very, very poor, poverty-stricken. He was living in Krishnanagar. And he was so poor, you know that story, right? He was very, very poor. And then a rich, rich landholder came to him, Raja Krishnachandra, and he said, oh, you are so poor, let me help you. Let me give you something. And the Brahmin said, no, my disciples, they're bringing me rice every day, and I have a tamarind tree. I take the leaves, and I mix it with the rice, and I eat, and I'm very happy. I don't need your help. So this was the Vedic culture. So that is the glory of India, the Vedic culture. Vyasadeva, he was living in a very humble cottage, and he wrote so many books. The six Goswamis living under a different tree, and they gave us so many literatures. Now, a very interesting thing in this lecture, as soon as, right after glorifying India, then he started glorifying the Western devotees, not the culture, but the devotees, because he said that they are anasuyave. Actually, let's read the next verse, and then we can discuss this further, because I think this is actually from the next verse. Anasuyave, is that in verse 26? Well, I'm way ahead of myself. Anyway, so we'll read 25 and 26. Bejire munayotagre bhagavantam madhoksajam sattvam vishudham kshemaya kapante yenutaniha. Previously, all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worship him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. So that was the point. We follow the pure devotee and he will help us to get liberation. And so Sutta Goswami, here he's giving the example that you should follow all these great sages in the beginning of the universe, Agre, they were all worshipping Vishnu. Brahma was worshipping Vishnu. The sages were worshipping Vishnu. And so should you. In verse 26, Mukshavo kororupam hitva bhuttapatinata narayana kala shanta bhajanti anasuyava. Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious, and they respect all. Yet they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all-blissful forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary portions. So Anasuyava, Sri Prabhupada gave the example of the Westerners, that when he went to America, he told everyone, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should worship him. And they accepted. He said, yes, why not Krishna? Krishna can be God. We worship Krishna. Let's worship Krishna. He said, but if I say that here, they'll say, oh, why not Kali? Why not Shiva? He's also one of the gods. Vishnu, Krishna, they're also one of the gods. Yes, we worship all of them. So this is the problem when you try to preach in India. Because people, they have, we'll read this later on, why they worship these demigods, but they have so many material desires. So Kora Rupam, the form of Kali, very ferocious, very horrible. The long tongue hanging out, she has all the choppers. She's ready to kill the demons. Very, very ghastly form. So Prabhupada therefore said, we do not worship the demigods. He said, in the beginning, when I started this Krishna consciousness movement, I named it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because if I had named it God Consciousness, so many people would have said, oh, well, yes, why not Shiva? Why not Durga? Why not Ganesh? It's God Consciousness. There are so many gods. So therefore I said Krishna Consciousness. So nobody can make a mistake who is God. Srila Prabhupada had one German godbrother, and he came to India to find out who was the Supreme Lord. So he visited all the different temples of the demigods, Krishna, Vishnu, all of them, and he concluded that Krishna must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he saw in all the other temples, all the demigods, they had some work they had to do. Either they were working, they had something in their hands to work, like Durga, Shiva, they were working, or else they were meditating on somebody else. So they couldn't be God. So therefore he concluded that Krishna, he's playing his flute. He must be God. Because God is enjoying. So this is the truth. Mukshavo gorarupam. We reject the horrible, ghastly forms, the demigods. This is Kaitava Dharma. This demigod worship. This is rejected from Srimad Bhagavatam, right from the beginning. Dharma approach to Kaitava Dharma. So verse 27, who worships the demigods? Rajastama pakitaya samashila bhajanti vai pitri bhuta paje sharin chi aishvaya paje sava. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship the forefathers, other living beings, and the demigods, who are in charge of cosmic activities. For they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women, wealth, power, and progeny. So Sri Aishwarya Praja. Sri means beauty, beautiful wife. Aishwarya, wealth, and Praja, descendants. There is a saying in Bengali that if you can see the grandson of your grandson, then your door to heaven is opened. So they're saying that this is the goal of life, that you have lots and lots and lots of children, and you have a long life, and you have a nice bank balance, beautiful wife. This is the goal of life. Sri Aishwarya Praja. So this is the mentality of the demigod worshippers. What is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita about their mentality? What kind of mind? What's in their minds? Deformed, yes. Pea brain. Okay, Hrita Gyana. Their knowledge is covered. Hrita Gyana. Kamais Taistai, Hrita Gyana. It's stolen by lust. So because they have so many desires they want to fulfill, their intelligence is lost. Devotee's mentality is different. As we heard yesterday, this verse 19, Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kama Loba Dayaschaye. This is all finished. No more passion and ignorance, no more lust, no more greed. It's all finished for the devotee. Natanam natanam nasundarim, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So Krishna consciousness, and if you are free from ignorance and passion, then you can be non-envious, as we heard in the previous verse. So therefore, dharma projita kaitava acha. This cheating is rejected, and the truth is given for those who are nirmat saranam, those who are non-envious. This is for the devotees. So those who are envious of Krishna, they will worship the demigods. This is to get all these material benefits. So now in the next verses, we will see who we should worship again. And he's going to say it 8 times, so you don't make mistake. Who it is? Vasudeva. Yes. No matter who you are, you should worship Vasudeva. Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramaka, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakya, Vasudeva Param Gyanam, Vasudeva Param Tapa, Vasudeva Parotarma, Vasudeva Paragati. So Vasudeva, I just thought of something fun to do with this verse. It just came in my mind. So let's do it. So each line is telling us a different type of path or different goal for different people. Now, what I want to do is I'll sing the line, and I want you to tell me a verse from Bhagavad Gita that says the same thing, because all of you took Bhakti Shastri now. So let's test your knowledge. First one is Vasudeva Paraveda. Yes, Madan Gopal. Very good. Does everybody understand that? Vedesh chasavar aham eva vedyo. Krishna says, I am the goal of the Vedas. Vasudeva paramakaha. Oh, wait, one at a time now. Let's hear you. 3-9. Yes. Okay. 3-9. Is that what you were saying? Okay. 3-9. Yagya. Very good. Okay. Vasudeva para yoga. Sham. Madgate nantaratmana. Very good. Okay, 647 is line 3. Line 3. Line 2 was 3-9. Line 1 was 15-15. Okay, Vasudeva Parakriyaha. Adipurush. Yes, Yatkaroshi, Arashnashi, Yajuhasi. Whatever work you do it for me. 927. 26 is Patram. Vasudeva param gyanam. Videsha Savar? Yes, Adipurusha? Yeah, I don't even know that one myself. Rajavidya Rajaguyam. Ah, very good. 9-2. Rajavidya Rajaguyam. He doesn't know. It's in 13 something. You know, Maharaj. Who knows the whole Gita? 13? 13-18. Okay, next one. Vasudeva param tapaha. What's that? Okay, same verse. Yakaroshi arashasi. Okay, yatapashasi konte, yeah? That's 927. Again. Vasudeva parotarmo. Sarvadharmam prityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. Yes. Okay. Vasudeva paragati. I know. Yes. Okay. Mamupetya punarjama. This is 8th chapter, 15th verse. Mamupetya punarjama dukhalayam jashvatam. I thought of another one. Prabhu gatir sakshi. Okay, that's 9:32. I'm also thinking of 18. Gatir, Prabhu, Shakshi, he says, I am the goal. Witness, shelter, master, most dear friend. 9:18. Gati is there. Okay, yeah, there's many verses actually that say Gati in Bhagavad Gita. Many. That's it? Okay, shall we do it from Bhagavatam? No, I don't know if a lot of people know Bhagavatam. Vasudeva. Okay, shall we try it from Bhagavatam? I think Bhagavatam's a bit difficult, yes? 8:28. Oh, he's smart. He covers everything in one verse. 8:28. Vedeshu yag yeshu tapastu chaiva shu yad punya phalam pratishtam. It's 8:28. This Bhagavad Gita, this is for the whole thing. It's for everything. Oh, practically. Yes. Yes, Sri Vrindavan. 8:28. You're also saying 7:28. No, he was saying 8:28. Videshu, Yageshu. The goal of all of these is, yeah, by devotional service, you can attain all of these things. Sri Vrindavan. Te, Tamas Tataiva. Okay, now we're getting smart. We're getting the verse that includes everything. That's 4:11. Yeyata mam prabadhyante tams tataiva pajamyaham. Okay. We could do this with all the books, couldn't we? But we won't. But Maharaj wants to do it with Bhagavatam. So let's see now, those who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam. I know, this is the problem. So maybe it's not fair. It's not a fair playing field. Maharaj knows. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Yes, and now we're getting into Bhagavatam. This is prayers of Queen Kunti. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha. Okay, anyway. Savai Pungsam Paro Tarmo. Okay? Sri Vrindavan. Yata Toror Mula Nishe Chanena. Okay, now te vidu svartaka tim hi Vishnu. Just enjoy, don't try to understand. Okay, we're going to go back to the lecture now, guys. And if you want to have more fun, after, we're going to have a presentation today. So we have to be more disciplined because we have to save time. And after the presentation's finished, if we want to get into it, we'll get into it some more. On this verse, it's lots of fun, actually. Now I'll tell you what I found here. I researched a lecture, and in the lectures, Prabhupada said, of course, the first one, Vedeshtai Savara Vasudeva Praveda, that is Bhagavad Gita Vedeshtai Chasavaraham Eva Vedyo, and then Vasudeva Paramakaha, Karma Kandya, is meant for Vishnu. And Srila Prabhupada brings up the point that any ritualistic sacrifice where they worship the demigods, Shalagram Shira must be there. Vishnu must be there in all of their, even if they worship the demigods, they have to have Vishnu. Okay, so then Vasudeva Parayoga. Prabhupada says nowadays it's Sharira Parayoga. Instead of the goal of life is yoga is Vasudeva, the goal of yoga is health, the body, keeping the body fit. So this is modern day, reducing fat. This is the goal of yoga. And I have to admit, I also do yoga to keep my health fit. I also do that, unfortunately. Sometimes it's required. Yeah. So, but actually, the real purpose of yoga is to meet Paramatma in the heart and meditate on Paramatma. That is the purpose of yoga, Vasudeva. Vasudeva Parakriya, Vrnasham Dharma, do your work for Krishna, Yakaroshi, Yarashnashi. Vasudeva Param Gyanam. Prabhupada says all scientific research should be to know Vasudeva. Vasudeva Param Tapa. Prabhupada said that scientists are performing so much austerity. This tapasya should be to understand Vasudeva. Vasudeva Paro Dharma, we know. Savai Pungsam Paro Dharma. Now, the purport in Vasudeva Paragati. Purport, the last paragraph in the middle. Prabhupada says something very interesting. I picked out one sentence, and it's a huge, you'll never find it. But I'll just read it to you. The last paragraph, it's a whole page in my book. So anyway, I'll just read it to you. It's just one sentence. Therefore, all culture of knowledge, austerities, it's like a conclusion. He says, therefore. So you've heard all this. Therefore, all culture of knowledge, austerities, sacrifice, and activities should be aimed at changing the quality of the influence that is acting upon us. So we were hearing about the behavior of different people in the modes of passion and ignorance. So now Sutta is explaining how everyone should act. For the present, we're all being controlled, Prabhupada says, by the external energy of the Lord And just to change the quality of the influence, we must endeavor to cultivate spiritual energy. Now I'm skipping a few sentences. Prabhupada says, no one should bother himself with fruitive activities or dry speculation about transcendental knowledge. Everyone should at once engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Nor should one worship different demigods who work as different hands of the Lord for creation, maintenance, or destruction of the material world. So here we have pratikul and anukul, as it is said in Nectar of Devotion, I believe, that some things you accept and some things you reject. We accept Vishnu, we reject worship of the demigods. Kaitava, this is Kaitava. So now the next verses in this chapter are explaining Purusha incarnations. Sa evedam sa jagre bhagavana mamayaya sarasarupaya cha sagunamaya guno vibhu. In the beginning of the material creation, that absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, in his transcendental position, created the energies of cause and effect by his own internal energy. So this is verse 30. So we have to understand, the main point is, a person creates. It's not coming from nothing. There's a brain behind it. There's a person behind it. Prabhupada says again and again, even if you look at the creation, there you see mother, you see the mother nature, you see the children. Where's the father? Must be a father. You see the mother and you see the children. There must be a father. No one can exist without a father. There is no child in this world who doesn't have a father. He may not know who his father is, but still he has to have a father. So same way, Krishna. And then the next verse, verse 31. Taya vilasite spesu guneshu gunavaniva antapavishta abhati vijnanena vijimbitaha. After creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudev expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. So when Krishna comes, people think he's one of us. The example is given, like the fish in the water. They see the reflection of the moon inside the water. They think, oh, it's just a big fish. Just one big fish, this moon. So we see Krishna. We think, yeah, maybe he's yogi, got some mystic powers. Duryodhana was thinking like that, that he challenged, he wanted to capture Krishna. But no, Krishna is not one of us. So in the beginning of the creation, everything was there. The elements were there, demigods were there, but nothing was happening. So only when Vishnu entered, then the whole thing started to happen and the demigods understood what they had to do. So here in the Sanskrit, in the second line, Guneshu Gunavan Iva. Although he is here within the gunas, within the modes, he is Gunavan. He's not affected. He is the possessor of the gunas. He is the controller of the gunas. He is not like us. We have a certain type of body given by Super Soul, by the modes. And he comes as Super Soul to remind us that this is what you wanted to do. Don't forget. So we can understand the presence of Super Soul within us. We can, even if you just look around you at nature, you can see the presence of Super Soul in the animals, the birds. How do they know how to fly south for the winter and north for the summer? They all fly together. And they go one direction in one season and the other direction. How do they know? Who tells them? It's Super Soul. Super Soul in the heart. How does a newborn calf or a newborn child, how do they know where to get their food? Super Soul. Intuition. They call it intuition. But this intuition, this is coming from Super Soul. He says, I give you remembrance of what you forgot, what you did in your last life. Because we've done it so many times before, but we still need him to remind us. But he is above. Although he's in, Prabhupada says, although he's in the body of the hog, he's not the hog. Yeah, we'll take it after. Okay? Because we have to keep going today. Yata yavahito vahnir darushveka sayorishu naneva bhakti vishvatma puteshu chatata puman. The Lord, a super soul, pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute, one without a second. So what does this mean? He appears to be of many varieties. Naneva bhati vishvatma. Because Super Soul is in everyone's heart, but everyone's acting differently. So why is Super Soul making one person act one way, another person act another way? Why is that? Would you like to answer? Madhavendapuri. We have different desires, yes. So we have different desires, so he doesn't make it all one. It'd be very boring. An example is given in Bhagavad Gita, how Super Soul is acting in this way, how the Lord is acting. Udasina avadasinam, that he is neutral. He is neutral. He's completely independent, but he's acting like a judge. The judge is seeing the case, and he's giving the verdict. You get this, you get that. You get hanged, you get nice prasad. Different verdicts. But he is not different, although he appears to be different in different bodies, although he appears to be giving different things to different people. He is the same, Super Soul. He is the judge. He's neutral. He's not different in every body. He's the same Super Soul. And Prabhupada was saying in one lecture that he's how many living entities, innumerable living entities, and he's keeping all the accounts. What kind of a brain you need to know every single desire of every single living entity and every single action at every second for millions of lives. What kind of brain you need. So this is the Paramatma. He knows these things. He is keeping the accounts. So we are learning different functions of the Super Soul from these different verses. Now there's a very nice purport in this verse 32, how to perceive the Super Soul within us. Srila Prabhupada says, as from wood fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects who are especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam is a bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of the transcendental message. That is the only way to experience the transcendental subject, by hearing. As fire is kindled by wood, from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, the spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. So we're getting injection. Therefore, one is required to approach the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only, and thus divine existence is gradually realized. The difference between animality and humanity lies in this process only. A human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hideshya Arjuna Tishtati. The Super Soul is in the heart, and he is directing our wanderings, and we're sitting on this machine. This wonderful machine, this material body. We're sitting on this machine. Super Soul is inside directing. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot. He was driving Arjuna's chariot, and actually he's driving our chariot too. He's driving all our chariots as Super Soul. We're on a chariot, and Krishna is our driver. He's driving our chariots. Of course, we have to accept him as our driver if we want him to drive our chariots. And it was Arjuna's devotion that manifested Krishna as the chariot driver. We cannot show everyone, oh, see how Krishna is driving my chariot. But because of Arjuna's devotion, he could bring Krishna outside and manifest him as a chariot driver. So these are the understandings of Super Soul. We'll continue. Asau gunamayar bhavayar bhutta shukshmendi atmabhisa nimiteshuni vishto bhunte bhutte shitat gunan. The Super Soul enters into the bodies of the created beings who are influenced by the modes of material nature and causes them to enjoy the effects of these modes by the subtle mind. Actually, we know it's our own desire. We can't blame it on Super Soul. First we desire, then he sanctions, and then we get according to our desire, we get our bodies. So although he is the cause, we are the main cause, our desire to enjoy in this world. And he has a different desire. It's not his desire for us to get material bodies. His desire is, he tells us in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Pritya, you give up all these nonsense desires, surrender to me. That's his desire. It's not his desire that we come into this material world and have material bodies. It's our desire. So then the last verse, Avyatyesha sattvena lokanvai lokabhavana lilavatara nurato devatiryang nadadishu. Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men, and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So that's why it's good to be in the mode of goodness, so we'll be reclaimed by him. In the purport, Prabhupada says a very wonderful thing. This is very close to the beginning. The Lord Vishnu incarnates himself in each and every society and in each and every type of living society. He manifests his transcendental pastimes amongst them just to create the desire to go back to Godhead. So we don't have desire to go back to Godhead. So therefore, Krishna comes here to create the desire to go back to Godhead. We see the great devotees also. They come here just to create the desire. Krishna comes just to attract us to his pastimes. And this desire is the beginning of our spiritual life. Bhagavad Gita, same thing. In the 12th chapter, Lord Krishna says that you should simply think of me. But if you can't do that, then you should do bhakti yoga. Follow the regulative principles. Then you will get a desire to attain to me. So Krishna comes, he teaches Bhagavad Gita to create that desire. You follow bhakti yoga, you'll get the desire to go to Krishna. And it's the deepening of this desire that will take us from shada to prema, take us back to Godhead by serving the pure devotees. Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter is described, there is a banyan tree, and this banyan tree is situated on desire. So it is our desire to enjoy that brings us and keeps us here. And it's our desire to... So then Kaitava Dharma is described, verse 8, work without bhakti leads, is shama evahi kevalam. If it doesn't lead you to hearing and chanting about Krishna, then it's useless labor only. Verse 8, religion with a motive is described in verse 9, and demigod worship in verses 26 and 27, how it's rejected. It's rejected from Srimad Bhagavatam and by those who are worshipping Vishnu. Then Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Absolute Truth in verse 11, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Vasudeva is the goal of all paths, verses 28 and 29. So that is the continuation of the themes that I saw in from the first chapter to the second. And you will see it again. This Param Dharma and Kaitav Dharma you will find again in chapter 5 in the instructions of Narada Muni. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This will be continued in chapter 3. This will be the only thing that's really continued in chapter 3. Of course, there will be some hints of bhakti that you should chant these verses, anyone who chants. And then chapter, this Shraddha to Prema, from Param Dharma, this will be described in chapters 5 and 6 in the life of Narada Muni and how he progresses through these different levels of advancement. Are there any questions or comments? Lila Madhuri. Yes? The question is, can we say when we're preaching to people that Paramatma is the origin of the instinct in animals? Yes. He's the origin of the instinct in everyone, and he's the origin of the intelligence. We'll learn this in Canto 2, more about Paramatma, Shivindavan. Govindadasi. Oh, crab walking sideways. Instinct. The crab is walking sideways. He doesn't walk frontwards. So this is instinct. It's actually... Yes. With instinct, intuition. Like everything, it's actually something that we have. That we are the origin of all these. The animals are the origin, or we ourselves are the origin, but they don't accept authority, the higher authority, or they don't accept God. Yes? No?
Text 24.
Text 24. Darshanam, yes. Yes. So the spiritual master. Yes, anyway. Okay, the question is, does the guru have to study psychology in order to...
No, you don't study, but
No, be an expert psychologist in order to understand how to engage the disciple. What is it meaning to be expert, Maharaj? Okay, the answer is, according to what Srila Prabhupada said to one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, does the spiritual master know everything? And Srila Prabhupada said, the spiritual master is informed. He doesn't claim to know everything. He doesn't. Yeah. Okay, the super soul in the heart tells the spiritual master whatever he needs to know to help the disciple. Yes. One challenging question in a class to Srila Prabhupada.
And he said,
okay, if you're the representative of God, how many wagons or how many cars are in the train from this place to that place? He gave the exact number. Always engage your mind. So one day he counted the wagons when he was waiting for the train. Yes, Krishna had him. That's right. Yes. Shivanavampu. Daksha, expert. What is this expertness? He knows how to please Krishna. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. He knows how to please Krishna. That is the expertise of the disciple. He knows how to use everything to please Krishna. Before I take more questions, Prashanta, do you need to set up anything? While we're having questions, maybe you can set up. We can, if you need some time to set up, write on the board or put things up on the board. You can do that now, and then as soon as you're ready, then we'll have your presentation. You need 15 minutes? Okay, so maybe you should start getting everything ready. And then, yes, Vishakha. Question. Okay, last verse. Right. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. It says Deva Tiryang Naradishu. Animals, everyone. How can I say? It appears so. Still he's merciful to everyone. Even if they don't have karma, still can give everybody a boost. Everybody can. You can by Agyata Sukriti, by association with a pure devotee, or by association with the Supreme Lord, then you get a boost and you go beyond your karma. Yes, you get prasadam. So even it may not be the Lord, but the Lord's devotee, like Hanuman, appears in the monkey society. Jambavan appears in the bear society. So the Lord and his devotees, they are his empowered incarnations. So they influence. Prahlad appeared in the demonic society. He influenced the demons. He changed them. Yes. Kadashi. Who? Acha. Acha. Kadashi was manifested. Yeah, they're all his children. So when he sees when you see your child suffering, I mean, even if the kid doesn't want to hear you, still you try. The child may not want to hear what you have to say, but that doesn't mean you stop trying to get him out, released from his misery, and he's causing his own misery. And you know he's miserable because he's making a mistake. And as a parent, you try to tell the child, but even if he doesn't listen. So Krishna comes, we're not listening, still he tries, even if we don't listen. We're like that. Yes, Shivanam. Yes. Yeah, we should not kill because it arrests them. That's what he said about abortion. That's why it's sinful. All right. Of course, you're killing a living entity, but also, oh no, that's what he said about contraception. Because even if you're not killing, still you're preventing someone from being born, from taking their birth. Anything else? Any other questions? Wow, this is perfect. We have a nice presentation. Okay, one more. Yes. Brahma and Shiva succumb. That's the difference. That's just what it's saying here. Now, Vishnu is not like that. He is not succumb. Yeah. He's like yogurt. He's like yogurt. And Vishnu is like milk. So that's the difference according to Brahma Samhita. That Shiva is like yogurt. He is in touch with the material energy. It's his wife. He's in touch. Vishnu does not come in touch. So that's the difference. He comes in touch. Are you ready? Okay. Any more discussion? Any more questions? Any more comments? Yes. Avaishnava mukod girnam putam harikatam putam. You should not hear from the mouth of a non-devotee. That's generally what it means by legitimate hearing. Don't hear out of the parampara. Don't hear from a non-devotee, basically. Non-devotee. Because then it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Cause poisonous effects. This is the problem. Legitimate hearing. Yes. Oh, yeah. They're Vaishnavas. They're four sampradayas. It's four sampradayas. And all of them are accepted. All four sampradayas. Vishnu, I can't put them right off my head, but Shiva and Lakshmi, Brahma and Kumaras. Four sampradayas that are still prevalent in India. And we accept, though there are some minor differences in philosophy, but all are accepted. Yes, Sri Vrindavan. Pashandi means atheist or blasphemer. Pashandi? Yeah. Atheist? Offender? Yeah, that's the two meanings that come to mind. Atheist or offender. If you think the demigods are equal to Vishnu, then you're Pashandi. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudadi Daivatai. If you think they're equal, then you're a Pashandi. Okay? So we'll stop here and we'll have our presentation.